What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today. It's your boy Doggy Diamonds. Another episode of Doggy Diamonds No Filter. Today I got a special guest with me. His people reached out to me. I was going to find them, though. I'm going to keep it real with you because I like to go in that era of the 90s of everybody who really, really was putting in that work, who dropped albums, who was underdogs, underrated. And this is definitely somebody who put in that work. He's probably like 4 years old and shit when he came out. Now he like 11 and shit. So let him know who I got with me right here.
What's up, world? It's your boy, A+. You know, the young latchkey child. You may know me by... You know, golden era of music. You know?
Yeah. A+. Damn, man. Where do we start? First of all, where you from?
Hempstead. Strong Island, yeah.
So you come in the vein of a lot of great... Long Island MCs is kind of slept on.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of legendary artists, you know. I might not need to name them. Rakim.
EPMD.
Leaders of the New, Public Enemy, you know.
K-Solo.
Yeah, so many, you know, legendary.
They're
going to
be in
artists.
The comments like, you forgot such and such.
Chuck Keith D. Murray.
Chuck D.
Yeah, Public. Yeah, Chuck. Yeah, Chuck. You know, a lot of legendary artists, man. And
Prodigy.
P.
Prodigy. He from Hempstead, right?
He said that in his rhyme. I'm from Hempstead.
Yeah, y'all had a record together too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you from Hempstead, the music business. How did you get into that?
When I was young, man, probably about 9, 10, I used to, you know, just do like local talent shows. My mom just put me in like talent shows local. And I hooked up with the Smith brothers, Charles and Joe, the Smith brothers. And we just started working on demos, and you know, they really helped me groom me into, you know, being an actual artist, because I used to imitate a lot of artists like Sticky Fingers and LL. And
Honest,
you know,
was
I
the
had
shit
my
at
own
that time.
Rhymes. So my mom was like, yo, you can rhyme, you know, you just need your own material. So, you know, she knew them from high school, and I hooked up with them, and they started, you know, just getting me groomed, man, working on demos and stuff. And one significant show I did was at Victoria 5 on 125th in Harlem. And there's a Def Jam competition with Russell and Crazy Sam and everybody. And I came in first place in that competition. And you know, you're supposed to get a deal with them. I never got the deal because I was too young. You know, they didn't want to take me out of school, Russell and them. So, you know, I end up... You know, not getting a deal with them, so I kept moving and kept pushing. And, you know, me being so young at that time, it was not a lot of artists, you know, at that time that was young.
So you were supposed to be on Def Jam, basically.
Yeah, I should have been on Def Jam.
At this time, who was on Def Jam? Who was the top?
Probably was Red, LL. Cats was on Def Jam. And
what year was this?
This had to be 95, 94, okay, something like that. Yeah, because my first album dropped in 96. It took me 2 years. 2 years to get a deal.
Wow.
2 years.
Even though everybody knew who you was at a certain level.
Yeah, I was coming at Puff, and everybody, you know, knew who I was. Everybody, I used to come in all their offices, and they was like, yo, we just don't know, you know, what to do. He's dope, but we don't know, you know, how to... You know, marketed a cat his age and coming the way he coming. It's like, you know, it was so, you know, I end up, you know, meeting Kedar Massenburg, and he was starting the label Universal. And, you know, I was the first artist to jump off on his label, and I was actually the first artist to be released on Universal Records.
But,
in general.
So you was the first person with a momager, too, right?
With a who?
A mominger. You know when your mother's like your manager?
Oh, yeah. She wasn't my manager, but I was so young, she was like
she had the overseer. Yeah, yeah,
she
exactly.
oversaw everything.
That's what Usher yeah. had. That's what, you know, everybody who moms was all in they,
yeah,
you know.
But a lot of cats don't know I was the first artist to be released on Universal.
Universal Records?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which was founded in 96. They came out in 96. I was the first act to be released.
So when you signed Akida, who did he have there? He had Erica.
Yeah, Erica.
D'Angelo, too?
I think he was managing
D'Angelo.
And I think Chico the Barge came around. And he had a group called Deja Groove or something like that, I think. And yeah, but I was the first act to be released on him. And Erica came right after.
Wow, you came out before Erykah Badu?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Set the label off.
And what was your first single again?
It was All I See.
Yeah, All I See.
Yeah, featuring the singer Shakira, you know, on the hook. Everybody know her. I was like, yo, that girl on your hook could blow. She was like she was under Whitney Houston. Mm. She was a, you know, big, you know, like her under her coming up.
Where's she at now?
She's actually touring, doing background. She does background for Beyonce, a lot of people.
Oh shit! Okay.
So she's, you know, out there on the road doing her thing.
So how old were you when you came out?
I was like 13, 14.
What did you know about any of the music business?
None, not nothing. All I knew was I wanted to rhyme, and I wanted to let people know that I could spit. And it was all music for me, man. It wasn't the business side of it. Was not an inkling in my mind.
So did you sign your publishing away and all that crazy shit?
Nah. I had the good thing about me. I had, you know, good people around me. You know, like the Smiths and my moms and good people that was in my corner that, you know, taught me about the business as I went along. You know, it's bumps in the road. You come across people that, you know, you learn as you go along with the business. It's not all, you know, hunky dory.
Shit's,
you know,
fucked up.
Yeah, everybody is not out for your best interest. Yeah. You know, so you learn that along the way, man. Dealing with, I had about maybe three managers through my time, and but you know, as I learned the business, you know, as I went along, like I said, I had good people in my corner that was able to teaching me along the way.
So for the fans out there, when you 13, 12, 11, what is the album making process like? Cause you know, now it's Pro Tools, and
you
got a 2-track and you jump on
it. Yeah, back then it was,
you had a real, that, real, it was 80, the real. Back DA, then it 88.
Was, back then it was the big boards and the SL boards, and it was no, like you said, no Pro Tools. It was the little DATs and the
you
rails.
Had to say the hook.
Say
three
the
times,
big ass
ten
reel
times
in the
yeah.
box, and you know what I'm saying. It was still like, you know, with my process, you know, it was just lock in. You know, find that studio that you comfortable in, and just lock in, man, for weeks, months, whatever. And you know, so it was a good experience for me. You know, learning, doing the first album. You know, I got to work with Q-Tip. I got to work with Prodigy. I got to work with AZ. And at 13, 14 years old, it's like, yo, he's just legendary artist. You know, you in the booth with, like, when Q-Tip was in the booth doing the hook, I'm like, you got Q-Tip.
Did you recognize that was Tribe Called Quest Q-Tip?
Yeah, like, he was recording in the same studio I was working in, and Keith Arnold was like, yo, we're going to get Q-Tip on this hook to come do this hook for you. So he probably thought, you know, okay, it's just another regular.
Who did the
artist.
Beat? Did he do the beat?
It was Buck Wild.
Buck Wild. Shout out to the homie Buck Wild.
Yeah, Buck Wild's.
Damn, Buck. You got some motherfucking. Your discography is crazy.
Yeah, he did. I think he did like 2 joints on the album. He did 2 joints on that album.
Who did the Prodigy joint?
This producer called Milladon.
Okay.
That's from Long Island, from Hempstead.
How you remember all that shit?
Yeah, like, cause he's my dude. He was like, people I came through, you know, I brung him in, like, yo, you know, I know other, you know, giving people opportunities as well as, you know, not just, you know, reaching out for big name producers.
Yeah.
And, you know,
who did the AZ joint?
AZ was actually one of the, Ike Lee was one of the singers on Kedar's label that was in the group. He produced also, so he had a couple joints and he came through. With production, but the Smith Brothers did majority of the album, you know, which is, you know, my team, my camp.
Okay.
You know, we kind of, you know, that was our whole thing with the Latchkey Child.
So yeah, so that was the first album. How well did it sell?
It did well. It did the single did really well. All I see, you know, was like gold. It was top five on the Billboard charts and everything. So it was like a good introduction, you know, to the game and me as A+ as an artist, you know. So I got a lot of, you know, a lot of buzz and stuff from that single. You know, the album was more hip hop. It was real authentic, and at that time, I don't think they was not for the album. And then the label, you know, the single, that was the only single. Well, they released another single called Party Joint, was released from the album, but it wasn't too many singles from that album. But the album was really, a lot of people call it classic, and you know, they was like, yo, this album is just like really slept on. It's really, and that's how a lot of albums are when you come out with the Reasonable Doubts and people that really start off with that raw, uncut, you know, music, and you know, and it's just like a lot of people not, you know, ready for it commercially and all that stuff. Because you're thinking, All I See, you think, oh, this is a pop, you know, kid. Mm-hmm. That, but then you listen to the album and it's just raw. It's just raw material coming from a street aspect, talking about
of a 13-year-old.
Yeah, talking about a lot of relevant street.
Did you come out before Shaheem?
After Shaheem, because I remember
Free Shaheem too.
Because I remember when he got on, I was like, wow, like damn, another little nigga got on. I'm hyped. Like, yo, I could do this.
I can really
do this. When I seen that joint come out, I was like, I can do it now. So it was like motivation, you know, for me.
So what did it feel like being 13 and you doing shows and you got little girls screaming and shit for you?
Yeah, it was wild. It was really wild. When I knew it was real, when they started mobbing me, and I'm like, I did a show. I was in Chicago doing some promo for the album, and it was like a bunch of girls or whatever, and they was like, all right, get in the van. I got in the van, and it's like, I tried to make it to a building. I couldn't make it to the building. So I'm like, all right. I just put my head down, and it was like 20, 30 girls. I'm like, yo, I couldn't run away. I just had to stand there, cover my head, and like fucking let them.
So at 13, you probably wasn't getting no pussy yet.
I don't know about that.
Or you was getting pussy at 13?
I was working, man.
I was trying to say, like, because I'm like 13. I know you ain't got no groupies at 13. Like, god damn, you got groupies around.
It was definitely a crazy experience being, you know, at that age. You know, that's what I wasn't ready for. You know what I'm saying? I was like, yo, I just want to know people know I'm nice, I can spit. But then you got, oh shit, you got fans and all that shit coming. You like, wow, I didn't think that, you know.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah. So where's some of the places you touched at that age? Like, did you leave the country? Did you travel?
At that age, I was really the United States. I was really all over the states doing promo and doing shows with, like,
yeah, because I don't think, let's let the people know that you do a lot of free ass shows.
Yeah, promo. Yeah, for your, like, when you doing that promo and you doing shows like Jenny Jones and Soul Train.
But somebody's getting paid. It just ain't you.
Yeah, like some shows, you know, the promotion is, yeah, you know, yeah, they, yeah, like, yeah, you know, that's the money for you. You putting your brand and your face out there. You know, it's like, it's worth them, you know.
He said Jenny Jones.
It's worth money. Yeah. Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones was like before Maury.
Ricky Lake.
Yeah, Ricky Lake, Jenny Jones. Damn.
Yeah, talk shows, and you know, Soul Train was a big thing for me. Being able to brace that stage was like legendary.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So but a lot of promo, and then the second album is when I really started touring, like.
What's the title of the second album for the people?
Well, Hempstead High.
Hempstead High.
Yeah.
What was that? What was that process like? What was your How much did you sign for originally?
When I first signed, I think it was around close to somewhere 100,000 for just, you know, for your advances and all, everything calculated up. It was a nice piece of change for me. And for, you know, Kedar, he was he was caked up. He was a dude that had a lot of money. So, you know, his deal with Universal was pretty, you know, it wasn't a cheap deal.
So how much of it did you get the PC? So you got 100 for your pocket?
Yeah, and the budget was like 75. The budget wasn't that high. The budget was only like 75 grand for to do the project. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, R&B albums used to get more.
Yes.
Back then, R&B albums used to get more budget. So the hip hop budget wasn't that big.
So where he took money then, out of his pocket and gave it to you?
That I don't know if that was from Universal. Like, yeah, that was from Universal.
But
I guess
what I'm
they
saying,
gave
at
him.
13, you couldn't spend the money, right?
Yeah, nah. You have to, you know, they got trust funds and stuff at that age. You know, you can't really, you know, spend, you know, just be out there. Yo,
spending
money like an adult. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be, you know, they hold on even the courts and stuff. You know, they're present and they're like, you know, they're there to protect you aside from your managers and your, you know, they got courts have their own lawyers there for you. Like, you know, they was ready to shut it down. Like, yo, what? Y'all don't, they was, I remember they was screaming like, yo, y'all not jerking him, blah, blah, blah. Nassau County was in there like, man, listen, we shut this whole record deal down, y'all.
Wow.
They ain't playing, man.
Because they didn't want playing. Nobody to touch the money?
They didn't want, yeah, the contracts had to be right, everything, you know, because they know you're too young to read
stuff.
And, you know, really understand, you know, what's going on. So, you know, they have to be present to make sure everything is, you know, going down right.
So by the time this second album comes around, how old are you then?
What, 16, 17.
So you mm-hmm. a little bit more.
Yeah, a little older, and it was a bigger, you know, bigger situation. Budgets is bigger, you know, different thing. You know, you got, that was your first time around, so now it's like, okay, you know, started working with a lot of other artists. But in a sense, you know, it was crazy because it was kind of, you know, bittersweet because it was like I got a chance to get older and work with a lot of other people, but you know, at the same time, you still want to keep, you know, you and
your,
you know,
in-house
your artistry
and
the kind of image you have, you know, so you don't want people to really taint that. And you know, and that, I think that's where it kind of got a little derailed that a little bit.
So by the time this album is coming out, Hempstead High, did the management change at this time?
Yeah, I did change. I was working with Charles Suit.
So that's how the
at
whole
the time, yeah, with
Lost
he,
Boys.
Which he managed the Lost Boys and okay. Cannabis and yeah. a lot of other people, you know, so he came into play. Me and him had a pretty good relationship, but, you know, things wasn't, you know, it was a little.
Because your sound also changed, too. You were sounding like you, but then you were sounding like other motherfuckers.
Yeah, because you have a lot of other influences coming around and, you know, you and me as a young artist, you know, just trying to build with other people and really, you know, branch at the same time. But at the same time, like I said, don't really want to lose, you know, yourself and what the people know you for. So at that time, you know, the label was like, oh, we want to, you know, change him and have him this way and be that way. You know, they want to change your image. And,
did they have a time, you know, that they wanted you to be like on some gangster cursing shit or something? Like
nah,
that?
They wanted to more commercialize. Okay. They more wanted to have me. This is around the time when Puffy and them was doing Shiny Suits.
Mace.
And,
Mace
and all this
you
stuff.
You could be the next
so
Mace.
They want to, you know, kind of follow trends a little bit. And it's like, you know, that's when, you know, when you with the label and they spending their money and they, you know, they got more say-so over, you know, this is the stuff you had to learn coming up, you know, learning that, you know, that's why independency is so.
Yeah, because you got creative control.
You know, yeah, exactly, because when you don't have that creative control, it's like you're going back and forth. It's like, nah, I want to do it this way. Nah, let's do it that way. Well, listen, at the end of the day, it's my money. I do whatever I want to do it. If you don't like it,
you get the fuck out of here. So the ghostwriter claims, you know, as many different people that say that they wrote. How true was some of that? Did people help you? Did people write for you?
Yeah, that's all false, man. It's all false, man. I worked with, like I said, I worked with the Smith Brothers when I first started, you know what I'm saying? They helped me groom me into being a full-fledged artist. And, you know, from there I branched off. You know what I'm saying? I branched off, and that's why I was able to do records with a lot of people, MJG, 8-Ball, and, you know, a lot of these artists can vouch, you know, that sat down with AZ. These artists that I sat down and, and work with Q-Tip, and these people will tell you, yo, son, get busy, son, do his own thing, Prodigy, and, you know, that wasn't for nothing, you know what I'm saying? These cats, you know, when I got the second album, you know, I worked, like, Supernatural, Cannabis, you know, I branched and learned things from a lot of artists that I took in, you know, for myself, you know what I'm saying, and developed my skills, you know, that way, you know what I'm saying, working with an artist that's as skillful as Cannabis.
Whoa.
Even working with LL, like,
listen,
you know what I'm saying?
We could go back to LL real quick, but at this time, that's when Cannabis was the man. Anybody who tried to front,
right?
On
he was lyrically,
time,
he was one of the dopest. So if you under his umbrella, how could you not be like, yo, I'm picking this nigga.
How many times did you crumble up the paper fucking with him?
Though? Yo, but the thing is, me and him was like a tag team at a time. Like when I first met him, I was in Charles' suit office. And he was like, both of y'all spit, you know, and I'm like, I ain't really know who he was at the time. So me and him going back and forth, and he like, yo, this little nigga's nice.
That's when you didn't know that he'll spit like 60
yeah,
fucking
but,
balls.
And that's how, you know, I got into that camp with him, because he was like, yo, he's a spitter. I'm a spitter, you know what I mean? And then Cheeks and them, you know, did what they did, made their music. And so me and him kind of gelled together, because
we both was in
that artist, yeah, in that type of realm. So, you know, that's where me and him linked in at. So, and a lot of people probably thought, oh, he, you know, he sound like him, he gone. So, you know,
I thought Cannabis was right.
I just was with him.
Oh,
me
okay.
and him was linked so much together, you know, that we used to sit down and literally go to the library together. Like, me and him, he used to be like, yo, let's go to the library. I'd be like, yo, we'll go to the library.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
This is how he developed his
vocabulary.
Yeah,
and
this
pattern.
Is where I learned to,
okay.
to do that. Like, yo, bringing your vocab up and really, you know, doing stuff like that as an artist, because it's a skill, you know. It's
because
not just
you had at this particular time, like, this nigga was so fucking nice. I remember, and they might not want to admit it, one time it was Cannabis, mm-hmm. Nori, and DMX mm-hmm. on the radio. Cannabis destroyed them niggas.
Yeah, he was
Cannabis crazy. Like, that shit was some different shit. Even y'all, the Beast from the East, my crew.
Yeah.
You got busy on them shits too, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't gonna front.
And it was crazy because LL was like a big mentor of mine. You know what I'm saying? He used to come to my house all the time. And, you know, even when the Hempstead High album, he used to come to my crib. And, you know, I used to play music for him from the album. Like, yo, L, listen to this, man. He used to be like, yo, you should deliver it like this. You should, you know, really giving me pointers. Like, I used to come from school and LL be sitting in my crib.
Wow.
I'm like, yo, who A50 is this outside? I'm like, I'm coming from school. Like, oh, my mom done bought me a whip. I'm like, oh, shit, I know she ain't buy me no car. I'm like, and I see the big fat dude with the bald head and security guard. He used to be sitting in the car. I'm like, oh, nah, somebody's sitting in there. Ain't my shit.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
I go
yeah.
home and LL in there waiting for me. Come home from school. And,
wow.
and you know, and he used to like, yo, Plus, you know, listen to the records and like, yo, smooth your delivery out, do it like this, do it like that, like, and getting pointers from somebody like from him,
considered to
like,
be one of the goats.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's like, yo, he wanted to sign me at a point, you know,
is that when he had was supposed to be Uncle Records?
Yeah, he wanted to
rock the bells.
He wanted to work with me at a time where I used to do fundraisers with him with his charity. He used to have me come perform all the time at his charity events for kids and stuff. So, you know, he was a real big influence, you know, on me, LL. And but then it's crazy, him and Cannabis started beefing.
I'm about to say, with Cannabis, all right.
I'm like, yo.
When Cannabis and LL was beefing, who you think took that? Keep it real.
I couldn't really tell you, man.
I'm going to say, though.
Yo, I thought it was a good battle. Lyrically, you know, Cannabis is a metaphor guy. He's you know, more, that's more of his.
And Cannabis took that shit. That second round.
That's more of his thing. That's what he do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, LL is, you can't take nothing from him.
Nah, he's
just
animal.
Can't. He's just so, you know, it's like it's a win.
He got an unfair advantage, though. He's LL.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
but it was just crazy for me. I'm like, yo, that's like my godfather.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, yo, I'm playing him records with Cannabis on it. I'm like, yo, this this new kid, Cannabis, is in the crew, blah blah blah. He like, oh, word. Next thing you know, I'm like, they battling?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo. And then I don't know if he probably took something like, yo, I can't, you know. You know, maybe he felt some type of way.
Let me fall back from it and shit. So this is all the great things about the game that you experience. Man. The record deals, the touring, the meeting people. When did it start to turn like, I don't know if I should fuck with this shit no more? Because you completely like fell off the scene.
Yeah, and... That was a choice I made, you know what I mean? After, you know, a certain amount of time, I chose to be like, you know, I'ma lay low. Cause, you know, life is real. You know, you deal with a lot of shit in life. And, you know, I had family, you know, brothers, and that was incarcerated, going to jail. Like, my younger brother went to jail for 15 years.
Damn.
for manslaughter, man. Like, and that shit, a lot of people don't, and a lot of people should be like, yo, he in jail for murder. I'm like, that ain't me, that's my brother.
Mm.
They thinking it's me, it's my brother.
So they done killed you, they said you was dead.
Yeah.
They said you was in jail forever. Did they ever put you on the milk carton?
Yeah,
you was on the milk carton. Damn, so yeah, at one point that shit was a big shit to be on that milk carton.
Real talk, but a lot of people was like, I like left the public eye. It wasn't like, you know, like, oh, you know, people pushing me away. It was like, I don't want no record deal. I don't want, you know, I did my Just Do It Universal, and I did all my albums with them. I finished that contract with them, and you know. It was just a lot of shit going on, like business wise, and you know, sometimes you gotta just separate yourself from everything and be like, yeah, let me look at my circle, let me look at, you know, who around me and who's here for what, and you know, a lot of stuff you gotta really, you know, look at, you know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, you know, with your life situation going on, you know, I had a son early, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know, I'm cool.
He said he was getting pussy at 13.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm touring the world. I've been overseas, everything built, top platinum albums, everything. I'm like, yo, I'm just, you know, the game is different. You know what I'm saying? Right now, it's like I don't have that, you know, fire with, you know, for what's going on right now. You know what I'm saying? But what really made me come back was like, yo, me reading all the fan mail and all these people all over the internet, like, yo, your album was the first album I ever bought. You don't know what your album did, you know, put me through, and, you know, you the reason I rap. I'm like, what?
Word?
Like, yo, that's crazy. I'm like, yo, when you realize you touch people with your music, you know what I'm saying? That's what, you know, I realized I wanted to do. I feel like I got something to offer.
What was it? Was it a defining moment? Was it a day where you said, I'm good on this shit? Because I'm trying to paint the picture of how do you go from studio, shows, bookings, all types of shit to I'm not doing nothing no more.
Yeah.
Was it a day or was it over the course of time you gradually fall back? Or was it,
yeah, it was,
what moment was it that you said, yeah, I'm walking away?
It was over a course of time. It was like, because when you deal with, like I said, like I had managers, a lot of people, like I used to be in Universal kicking in doors. Like, yo.
Who was up there at the
like,
time?
Like, yo, where? Everybody, man. It was like Cash Money.
Who was in charge, though? Who was in charge?
It was Doug Morris and a lot of cats like that. Big people that used to be around. So, and then I ended up going to Motown. I went from Universal and I ended up being on Motown Records.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Which is, you know, a big legendary, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
legendary.
Yeah.
But yeah, over a period of time, man, you just like, you know, this ain't fun no more.
Mm.
It ain't, you know, I got into the business because music was fun to me. You know what I'm saying? I enjoyed making music. I enjoyed, you know, rapping and being in ciphers and making music and, you know, I'm doing shit like that. But at a point where it was just so business oriented, it was just about, it wasn't about the music.
And you were still a kid.
Yeah, so I'm like, yo, this is not, you know, what I, you know, got into the business for. And I'm like, I could do without all that shit. Like, all the business, like, y'all can have that. Like,
yeah,
I don't really,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I just want to rhyme.
I ain't starving, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm good, you know what I mean? I got family, you know, I got, You know what I mean? I'm good on that note. You know what I mean? Like, y'all could do that shit, but, you know, I felt at some point, I'm like, it ain't about that. It's about, mm-hmm. you know, touching people with your music and really, like, doing something important with music. Because a lot of people now, it's not like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people just make music just to, you know, be like, look at me. I'm that nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know. But when you feel like you can reach people with music and... So that's a big thing.
How do you reintroduce yourself? What's the plan to say? I mean, besides, like, you know, doing press and doing interviews and shit, because everybody gonna see this. But how do you gauge this shit? Because this shit is different.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? It's being you. It's being you, and I had to realize that it's like, I'm gonna be A plus.
Okay.
I'm gonna be can't nobody else be A plus, be A plus. So. You gotta just, you know, do you. Be yourself. Yeah, it's like you can't think about, this is what's going on here. So I gotta, you know, fit in here or do this and that. So you just gotta believe and trust in you and your brand, your sound. And because that's what I did from day one. It wasn't a lot of artists doing shit like that, the Latchkey Child, speaking for on a positive note, and you know, not cursing in your rhymes and not.
I bet you're cursing now, right?
Yeah, but I'm still, you know, I ain't calling chicks no bitches, and I ain't, you know, talking crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm still keeping, you know, my image clean. You know what I'm saying? My image is still clean, and I'm still who I am. So, you know, even though I'm older now, I can say stuff that I couldn't say. You know, back then, it's like, yo, I'm only 13, boy. I can't be like,
Now, unless you like illegal and shit. They ain't
you know what I'm saying? So that wasn't me, and that ain't me to this day. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the street. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the hood. I done grew up around drugs and all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? Growing up in Hempstead. So, you know, I'm valid with that. You know what I mean? So, but you ain't gotta, you know what I mean, act that. You ain't gotta act that way just because you from, you know what I'm saying? So my message is really... You know, on some positive shit, A plus, trying to tell niggas put guns down, do all that, like, you know what I'm saying, respect women, you know what I'm saying, and do that kind of thing, you know what I'm saying. So that's where I'm at with it. So I'm gonna continue to be, you know, that
who you
that
are.
All the shit. Exactly.
Did you ever get confused from the nigga from Hyro?
Hieroglyphics. Yeah, a lot of people did. Yeah, I didn't even realize it till like I'm like, oh shit, he got the A plus name, and I'm like. A lot of people will be like, is that A plus mom? Like, I don't even pay no mom. Like, ain't nothing I can do about that.
Y'all might as well do a record together, though. That might be ill. Hey. They got a big fan. Shout out to Hyro and motherfucking the Bay. You know what I'm saying? That'll be dope.
Absolutely.
What's the difference besides you growing up? What's some of the differences you see between the process of making music now and what it was then?
Yeah, it's a lot quicker now, obviously, you know what I mean? You studios is like, you know,
in the nigga room.
Yeah, now it's not, you ain't gotta spend $60 an hour to go record and have a crazy engineer. You could engineer your own shit and Pro Tools, and obviously you can get your music out, you know, quick, fast now with SoundClouds and all that kind of stuff, which is dope. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, being more independent and more having more creative control over, which we talked about before, like, you know, it's important to have, you know, be able to control your brand and your sound. And, you know, you ain't gotta, you know, be a slave to somebody because, you know, they know
what it's for.
Yeah,
it's right
and
for
they, and because, you know, they the ones with all the plugs and they spending all the money. So, you know, they got control over everything. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So that point of view is good, even though, you get a lot of trash out there.
It's a lot of trash.
So much shit come out. It's like anybody can make a record. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? It's a good thing, man, being independent. You know what I'm saying?
At this point, would you still perform your first record? Do you still perform it? Or you like,
oh, absolutely. I have to.
Because, you know, sometimes niggas be like, man, I ain't doing that shit no more.
I have to, man. It's like, it for one, introduced me to the world. Like,
okay.
That record did so much for me. It's like, you know, everybody's like, oh, can you do All I See? Can you do Enjoy Yourself? Da, da, da. So that record is like something that'll stick with me. Like, they play it to this day. Like, even on Hot 97, 105, Sus 1 and all of them be spinning it. I'm like, they like, people calling me, yo, they play All I See. I'm like, Word? Like, yeah, like every other week.
Like, for like, what?
I'm like, yeah, y'all still playing that record. But it's you know, timeless music. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're able to make some music that to this day, you play The Last Key Child, all I see niggas like, yo, this shit hot right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yo, this shit who now. Did you, what deals did you turn down?
Well, you know, like I said, LL wanted to, you know, work with me. You know, I was obligated to Kedar at the time, so I couldn't really, you know, do, you know, a lot of independent people used to come at me and like, yo, you know, they know I'm a free agent. They know I'm not, you know, signed or to anybody, so they want to come through. But, you know, it's smarter than just to have your own company, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing now, you know what I'm saying? I have my own label, my own CEO, and I just, you know, I'm going to have control, you know, over my own music. Me and the Smith Brothers, I hooked back up with my
wow,
peoples.
Day one.
Yeah, and we like, yo, we going to do this, do it the way it was supposed to be done, you know what I'm saying, from the giddy up. And, you know, it's good to have people around you. Like, all through all these years, they've been there. They've been there with me. They the only people I could call and pick up the phone and be like, yo, everybody else is like, you know, you can't reach, you know, everybody now.
But was it like a day you just wake up and say, I'm ready to go back in?
Yeah, and that's what I called. I called them up. I'm like, yo, this is it. I'm ready.
What was out? What was the moment? What was you listening to? What was going on in hip hop that made you say, I got that itch again? I'm ready.
It was really just me. It was really just me feeling like, you know, a lot of people push you too. It's like, you know, you got your family, you got your fans. And like I said, when I read enough stuff and I'm like, you know, all right, I'm reserved, I'm in good shape, I'm still young, and it's like, you know, music is my passion, so it's like, you know, why not, reach your full potential with it, and you know you just as good as anybody else out there. So, you know, that's when I just felt like, you know, I want to do it, and I want to do it on my terms. Mm-hmm. And I want to do it with people that, you know, I can trust. And I feel like, you know, because when the money start coming in, it's a whole different ball game.
There's a lot more money being made these days too.
Yeah, so, you know, and me with, you know, my resume and people that I know in the business, so, you know, it's nothing but a phone call.
So you was rhyming on Easy Mo B beats like after Flavor in your ear. Did you realize that?
Yeah.
My crew was just
was
like,
Easy Mo B. Yeah, see, yeah. Producers and even Bink Dog.
Bink fucking is animal.
He's working on, well, he's been working with Rick Ross, and he's working on a new album with Rick Ross. And I just spoke to him the other day. He like, yo, it's nothing. So for me to be working with, and he helped produce Hempstead High. He did half the album.
Bink? Wow.
He did half the album, all the records with me and Cardin. He did all of them, all the records. What me and Erykah Badu, like, you know, me working with him was just a whole nother level of, you know, creativity. I'm like, yeah, watching
Bink
him.
Is an animal.
Yeah, I'm watching him do things. I'm like, yo, this is just like.
And this is before he went to Rockefeller, right?
Yeah, before 1-9 and Hustler and all that stuff he did.
What beats did you pass up?
Well, for him?
No, give me a beat that you might have passed up that became somebody else's shit.
Oh, that Big Pun record.
It was You Ain't a Killer?
No. It was the other one with the horns. It had the horns in it. I forgot this record.
You came up with Nori?
Yo, I'm like, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, shit.
That's you came up. What? Make it happen. I'm like, I had that. Congratulations. Yo. You played yourself.
But see, that's what happens when you deal with labels. It's like,
that's
yo,
la, la,
yeah,
la, la.
And you make it so many, like a lot of artists go through that. You make so many records for an album, and then you can only put a few.
Who did that beat?
I don't even remember who did that beat.
Because at that time, you would get tapes.
Yeah, I had a bunch of, running through a bunch of beats, and I'm like, yo, that was one of the beats I remember listening to a lot, and I'm like, yo, this is, I like this joint.
Wow.
And then when I heard you can't forget the moment. It's like,
yeah, we gotta no. Let's Google this shit right now. I want to find out who made that beat.
Yeah,
I
want to
find
working
out
with
right
like
now.
Clark Kent. Shout out to,
shout
Clark,
out to Clark
Kent,
Clark Kent,
man.
Brooklyn OG.
Work with him.
We gonna find out right now live who made that shit.
A lot of artists go through that too, man. A lot of artists be like,
because I always be wanting to know, like, because I heard like Rakim passed up like Hard Knock Life before and shit like
and
that.
And AZ, he passed up the Enjoy Yourself record I had. Passed that record up. And that shit ended up number one on Europe. It was like a big.
But I don't know if I could have heard AZ on that though.
It wasn't him.
Okay, I think it's saying Rockwilder did that.
Rockwilder, exactly.
Yeah, Queens.
Yeah, that's the homie. Rockwilder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nori did the chorus on that. Yep. So right now, with this project, are you reaching out to some of the people you know or the favors, or are you just gonna go for Dolo and just do this shit?
Yeah, I'm reaching out to people that I like to work with.
You gonna get that LL verse?
Yeah, right.
LL, you on the verse, man.
That's the Godfather right there, man. Yeah. So, you know, me and him always gonna be tight. But I'm just reaching out to people that I, you know, that I had good vibes with, and people like Bank and even Rockwilder too.
Yeah, Animal.
And it's really the home team, man. Like me and the Smiths has really just been going in and making real creative music, man.
Yeah.
And
rest in peace, Freaky Todd.
Yeah, Freaky Todd. Shout out to Cheeks. I've seen him a couple times. I do some charity. I do a lot of charity stuff back in Long Island, and he came out and he performed.
So, all right, let me put this picture to you. Cannabis was battle rap, mm-hmm. right? And he comes out to battle Disaster. Mm-hmm. And he has a broken arm, and he pulls out a notepad. What went through your mind when you saw that?
I just was like, you know, I was looking at it. I know he can give it up like that. You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, let me see what you put yourself out there. See what's good. So, you know, it didn't go, you know, the way
he planned it, I guess.
Supposed to go, but you know. He has some balls in there. He
read off the pad though.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, he know yeah. better.
even when, because I'm gonna keep it real with you. Like I said earlier, man, I think ball for ball, it wasn't too many people that could fuck with Cannabis. And then sparred with Eminem and shit. And I thought
at that point he was really he took a lot of cats by storm. A lot of cats was scared of.
Yeah.
Was scared of that dude. And, you know, I was just, you know, like I said, I was just a youngin' up under the, you know what I mean? Like, just sucking it all in, you know what I mean? But that's what you do, you know what I'm saying? You learn from great artists, you know what I'm saying? You learn from people. And, you know, at that age, I was a sponge. I'm just sucking it all up. Even working with X and Kiss and being on the Rough Rider crew, like, I've been around the industry, man. I've been around a lot of camps, a lot of artists, man. And you know, I've just been blessed to be able to, you know what I mean, be around
and
that,
still be man. Young and not washed looking and shit like
from
that.
Yeah. And learn the do's and the don'ts and be able to say, all right, this is what I'm gonna do. This is how I see it. This is what I see, and this is what I'm, you know.
Let me. What's the craziest shit you've seen in the studio?
Oh, man. See, me, I don't really see crazy shit. I come for business, man. When I come to the studio, I'm like, yo, let's work. Like, I ain't coming with 1,000 niggas and
because you can't be for Dolo and shit. And,
you know what I mean? I was taught to move different, man. Like, yo, always be, you know what I mean? Always be professional. Always, you know, be respectful.
Be punctual.
Always, yeah, like, That's the type of artist, you know. Even a lot of my managers be like, yo, you was the best artist I ever worked with. Like, yo, you was the most, like, because you know a lot of artists be like, treat their managers like shit.
You work for me, nigga.
Yeah, but I'm like, yo, you know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta, you know.
Nah, you gotta.
But for the most part, it's like, you know what I mean? You want people to want to work for you.
Yeah, and do,
you know, appreciate. You know what I mean? Certain people don't like being treated certain ways. So me, I was always respectful with my managers. Like, even, you know, even like when I felt sometimes, like I said, I had to do shit too, like kicking doors. Like, yo, don't play with me. Like, I'm from the street. Like, I'm a young dude. I know, like, but I, you know, I was always taught, like I said, to be professional. But I seen a lot of other cats get crazy.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to meet the greats like Big?
Big. I did shows with Big, Nas, Jay. I was on stage with them. That's what I'm saying. Like, at that, you know, I was around
the greats. Yeah, you was, like, that's what
I
was saying.
And not around them. I was on the same platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was on headliners with Jay and DMX and Nas. Like, I performed with Nas. Like, Nas is one of the, you know, my favorite artists.
Is everybody's of all time, influence.
You know,
yeah.
So, you know, me being able to perform on the same stage with him is just like, you know, you doing your thing. And even Biggie, performing with Big, like, Big used to come to my dressing room to see me. Like, yo, I'm coming to see little nigga. He'd get busy. He comes in a wheelchair, like, yo, where little man at?
That's when he broke his leg?
Yeah, I want to see him. Yeah. Yo, where he at? I wasn't even in there. Like, yo, Big just came looking for you. I'm like, I'm on stage. He's like, yo, but, you know, I, you know, a lot of artists had love for me, you know what I'm saying? Because they see how I move, you know what I mean? I'm a student of the game. So I just like to be around artists and just, you know.
Did you ever meet any West Coast dudes, the Snoops, the Pacs, the...
Nah, I never came across this. Like, I used to be around, like, you know, when they was in the same vicinity. Like, the Wards is the first time I seen Pac, was when him and C's and them got into it at that, BET Awards, Source Awards back then, then Biggie, Tupac.
Soul Train Awards.
Yeah, they, Pac had went crazy, pulled the gun out on him or something back then.
That was the Soul Train
Awards. Yeah, he came through with the fatigue suit on. He walked right past me. All the security was running behind him like, yo, Tupac, yo, watch out. He came, he was ready for war. He walked past me, I'm like, that was the only glimpse I got of Pac.
In your life.
For real.
So that was on the West Coast, right?
Yeah,
that was the Soul Train Awards.
Yeah, it was in LA.
That was the Soul Train Awards. Yeah. When that East Coast, West Coast shit was going on, I think we
That's when I came out. I came out when I was like.
Did it hurt you?
Nah, because I remember I was in North Carolina doing a show when they shot Big or whatever. So I remember being on the road. I was on the road.
You mean you was on the road? Yeah. You was doing a show
with
Big.
Yeah, in North Carolina. I remember where I was, yeah.
When you heard Pac got killed, you mean?
Oh, Big.
Big,
yeah,
got killed.
Yeah, okay. I was in North Carolina doing a show. I think I was Smith and Wesson and them. I was on the road with doing some And I remember being in a hotel and he was like, yo, Big. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, yo. But when I came out, the East versus West was like, it was the East Coast, West Coast. Because I remember, like, even on my album, like, yo, God sent the shorty for the East Coast resurrection. Like, I was trying to, I was like, yo, I'm repping the East Coast.
I'm a little
nigga coming up, but I'm repping my coast. Like,
you know.
That's how I felt at that time. So I remember, you know, that being going on at that time.
So where was you at when you heard Pac got killed?
When Pac got shot. I was in New York. I wasn't nowhere special, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that whole situation was just, you know, it was bad, man. It was just, you know, to see two legendary artists like that, you know. And then as I got older, I'm like, damn, they was that young.
Yeah,
man.
25, yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
You don't even realize that they was, you know, that young. And I'm like, wow, man, you know, just, you know, and the stuff that Pac did and the artistry that he put
movies
down, man. It's like, yeah, it's inspiring. And, you know, that's what drove me as an artist to want to come up. It's like, yo, you know, do shit like that. Make a change with your music. Like, a lot of artists don't really, you know, see the power of
words.
You know, of the words and what they can do with their music. And he did, you know what I'm saying? He saw him and Amen Big, too.
Yeah.
And man, Big, at a certain point, I think Big really realized too, like, yo, I'm gonna really speak to my people, you know what I'm saying? And you know, sky's the limit and shit that he
So if Roc Nation called you tomorrow and say, come over, what you doing?
I'm coming through.
Yeah.
I'm coming through. All business is good. Yeah. Oh, it's business, man. Yeah, you just gotta, you know, when you know, because it's so flexible now, you know what I'm saying? Labels know that they not just giving you these deals that how they used to do it. I'm gonna give you a
budget. They giving niggas 360s though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't just giving you this big old budget. And you, I mean, some artists, man, you know, if you don't know,
yeah,
business, they just, I got $1 million. And, you know, it's like, you know, that's recoupable, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you
yeah.
gotta pay that back before you make, right. you ain't gonna see no money until you make that M back.
question, any advice for the 11-year-old, 13-year-old right now saying I want to be a rapper? What would you tell them?
Be creative. Be creative, and definitely, you know, it's like I said, it's so wide open now to be seen and be heard. You know, it's a lot of people coming up just off of YouTube and, you know, a lot of stuff like that. So, you know.
A lot of fuck shit, too, though.
Yeah, it's shit slipped through you like, oh, man, anybody. It's like, it's too.
Yeah, it is a like little too wide open.
It's this too shit is wide open,
like,
man. But, you know what I'm saying? You got to be
hook
creative.
Hook a pussy open right now. Like.
You got to be creative, and whatever your strong point is, you know, you roll with that. You dance or whatever, you sing or whatever, you know.
Yeah, because everybody can't rap.
Yeah, yeah, and you got some people that's entertainers. You got people, you know, whatever your niche is, you know what I'm saying? You perfect that, because that's how I learned to come up when I was young, man. I knew I was, you know, I had skills lyrically in my delivery and my flow.
When you was little, who did you imitate the most?
Oh, Sticky.
Yeah, you said that.
I
Sticky.
Used to do Sticky hard body, man.
Now, like Sticky was the man.
I used to do Sticky and Tretch. Tracks when he used to do the fast flow, my mom would be like, "Yo, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't
yeah.
rhyme like yeah. that." I'd be like, "What?
Yeah.
Give me 3 hours.
Yeah,
I'll spit this whole shit back to you."
Because I don't think the people know. Like back when we was younger, we would write their whole rhyme down.
Yeah.
Like remember they rhyme. Mm-hmm. Like I remember mm-hmm. having pages of like Big yeah. Daddy Kane rhymes. I'm sitting mm-hmm. here listening. Mm-hmm. What he said right there. Dope. Oh, okay. I'm writing yeah. that. Like you would write.
Like, mama
shit
said,
down.
"Knock you out." Like my mom's would put the hoodie on me, and she used to have her friends over and be like, "Yo, watch it, dude." Mama said, "Knock you out." So yeah. I had to put the hoodie on. Don't go. Go. I wow. put the hoodie on like this
yeah,
and be
yeah,
like.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, learning how to perform.
Yep, yep.
Be an artist, and little did I know, you know, that's what
a nigga
she saw.
Be in your living room.
Yeah, that's yeah. what she saw. She's like, oh, yeah. "I could put you in front of a crowd and." You know what I'm saying? And that's how I got started.
Did you ever get booed?
Nah, never got booed.
Every artist get booed.
Yo, I got booed though.
Okay,
and I got booed in Atlanta. I got booed in ATL. I was opening up for X. And he took forever to come out. And he was the headliner. You know what I'm saying? I was opening up for him. So by the time he got him, and I had to come do my set, they like, "We want X." They're like, "Boo, it's so late.
Yeah.
We just want to see X. Like, we don't want to see nobody else." It's
like
4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. So I got booed just on the
fuck
like,
you doing here.
We don't want to see nobody else.
This is Get At Me Dog DMX?
Huh?
This is Get At Me Dog time?
Yeah, around then.
Oh, yeah,
around
so you, yeah, you was
yeah,
getting
around
booed.
Then. No, this might have been Flesh in My Flesh.
Still, remember that shit came out the same year.
One of them, So that's the only time I got booed. Best with X, man.
What's all the social networks you got?
The Real A Plus, Instagram, Twitter, The Real A Plus, Andre Levins Jr., Facebook, It's Plus, Snapchat. You know what I'm saying? I do my little hand thing.
Yeah. What about when you plan on dropping some music, or do you have something out?
I'm getting ready to release. That's why I was like, damn, I wanted to come see you when I was locked and loaded. But
I got some
stuff. I'm like, I'm gonna come back up here
and
give you. But I got some new projects. I got a documentary coming out called Raised in the Game. It's like a whole piece about my music career from when I was a kid, and a lot of artists that grew up in the business that was raised in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So I got a lot of people on there, executives, a lot of people that, you know, I came across and I work with. So that's gonna be pretty interesting.
No, I was thinking about, laughing about, you said you was on that milk carton. That shit is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I was.
That shit is.
And I looked at that shit and was like.
Because a lot of viewers don't remember that. They don't know what that
sauce.
Is. Yeah, the sauce. When you was on that milk carton, they
like,
was shitting on you. Like, where the fuck is this dude at?
Where is he, man?
Because back in the days when you bought milk, the missing children used to be on the milk carton.
Yeah. And I probably was the only kid. I probably was the only kid on there.
Yeah.
All the grown motherfuckers up there. But They like, yo, you got A+ on them.
And they done killed you. They say you was in jail forever. They done did all types of shit to you.
Yeah, man, but
you know, here live in the flesh, Doggy Diamonds, no filter.
We good, man. Trust me, it's about to get real interesting, man. And I got a lot to offer. Yeah. To hip hop, man, and so.
And plus, they got to go back through the catalog anyway. Like, shit on iTunes and all that.
Yeah, everything. Okay. Everything, man. I mean, like I said, I work with legendary, man. I made a lot of great music as a kid. So that was when I was a kid. So imagine, you know, now with the mindset and, you know.
Voice change though, because you ain't got that little voice no more.
Nah, but I can still get that voice though. Wow. That's the funny thing about it.
It's like, come right out, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, you perform over your lyrics. I'm like, I can still sound like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want to mature. You want to, you know, grow older. And you know, I think that's it. Like, yo, this kid little
as hell. Before we go though, did you ever think you would see a time where niggas would be wearing dresses and shit though?
Nah. I never thought that, man. I mean, I know fashion, you know, I know everything, you know, evolves, but a lot of shit come back full circle. Cause
when the fuck was that out though?
Wearing Cuban links and shit like that.
Yeah, but when was dresses out?
That was never.
That shit was never cool.
I don't know if that even lasted that long. I think that wave is over now. I don't know if you see.
But niggas is wearing tight ass pants though, like. What the fuck is that? Belly shirts.
Yeah, I got a
like
son that dude. My son is. I had to get him out of that, man. My son is like, yo. I'm like, yo, the pants is too tight.
Yeah.
He like, yo, this is how I like to wear. I'm like,
no, you don't. No, you don't. All right, so yo, man. When the music come, make sure we get it so we can help you promote. Put that out there. This is Doggy Diamonds here with A+, No Filter Podcast. I think we went through a lot, man. Anything else you want to say? Anybody you want to shout out?
Yeah, man. I like to shout out Hempstead, Long Island. Shout out my brother Scully, who just came home. Shout out the Smith brothers, them the big homies, man. Shout out Doggy Diamonds for bringing me here, man, and you know, letting the people know that
he alive and shit. We ain't dead.
In the pen, you know what I'm saying? We alive and well. And just shout out everybody, man. You know, we here.
And follow him on all the social networks.
Follow me so you could keep abreast with the new music and everything that's coming out. You know, it's gonna be out there soon, real soon. So stay tuned.
All right, so that's what it is. We out of here. Peace.
All right. I gotta get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this.